What a gorgeous, gorgeous morning. I got my Mary Poppins bag, so I haven't forgotten. Let's see. Can't put that there. I need glasses nowadays. Glasses. What a joy it is to be in Christ, guys. Isn't it? Isn't it a joy? And this has been a great blessing for my family and I. These camps, especially in my life, they have transformed my life in so many ways. Before I start, I'd like to share something I was reading. It was interesting. A teacher was talking to a very rowdy, unhygienic young boy. The teacher said, "You should brush your teeth. I can see what you had for breakfast this morning." He said, "No, you can't." "So what did I have for breakfast?" "You had eggs," she said. The boy answered and said, "You're wrong. That was yesterday." You can tell a lot. You can tell a lot about a person by their mouth. In James chapter 3, verse 1 through 12, it reads, Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now if we put the bits into the horses' mouths, so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest it is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. Have you guys ever gone to a doctor and the doctor tells you to stick out your tongue? Has that ever happened to any of you? Okay, we got a few people. It's quite amazing. It's quite amazing that a doctor can tell if you have diabetes, vitamin deficiencies, hormone imbalance, digestive problems, infections in the body, and even signs of cancer. Just by what? Sticking out your tongue. Right? Doing that simple thing. A doctor, a really good doctor, can tell what's going on the inside. The physical, various illnesses that you might be going through. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 35 to 37, the Bible reads, "The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Likewise, what comes out of our mouth in terms of speech, by that you can tell a lot about a person. What's inside? What are you thinking about? What are you passionate about? Have you talked, you know, when you talk to people, some of them talk about sports. Maybe it's video games. Maybe it's politics. Maybe hunting, fishing. What do you generally talk about? What's inside will come out. What are you passionate about? It is a gauge. It's an indicator of this person's spiritual life. What comes out of your mouth? It clearly indicates who you really are on the inside. What you've been consuming. You know, when I like garlic and onion, and my wife does not want to be near me when I have onions. And so she knows exactly, even if I'm, you know, if I've had onions, you know, not in her presence, but I was out or something, and hot dogs with onions on it. And I like hot dogs with onions because we can't get really good hot dogs in India. So, and she knows immediately. She come, you know, she's like, "Wow, you've had onions." I was like, "I'm not going to give you a kiss now. No kiss because you had onions." So because of what I had consumed, it comes out. It's a gauge. It's an indicator, right? So what have we been consuming, brethren? What do we put into our inner man comes out in our everyday life. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 14, very encouraging passage of scripture, talks about the new man. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, and we have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, brethren, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and put on the new self. The new self who is being renewed to the true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no Jew, no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. So as those who have been chosen of God. Wow, this is a beautiful passage of scripture. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Wow. If we believe it, it'll change our life. If we believe the scriptures, it will change our life. I truly believe it. You know, it was 32 years ago, somebody came up to me on a college campus in Long Island, New York, Central Islip. And they asked me, "Would you be interested in a Bible study?" And I, praise God, I said yes. Simple. "Would you be interested in a Bible study?" I was like, "Sure, why not?" I was 18 years old. And I praise God to this day. Thank you, Lord, that I said yes. Can't imagine where my life would be right now. And 28 years ago, Steve Doty and Larry Gold came up to a small little camp in Poughkeepsie, New York. And they shared, Steve Doty did a great job, shared about his life. And showed, not he didn't just share about his life, but he shared about the victory that was in Christ. And I sat up in my seat. And I was like, wow, that's exactly what I've been looking for so many years of my life. I want more of that. Larry Gohl had given me his number, so I kept calling Larry from New York. Kept calling, leave messages. There was a whole bunch of other guys who heard the same messages. And finally he called back. Larry called back and said, hey, you need to get in touch with Jay Wilson. Who is Jay Wilson? There's a camp coming up in Montana, Labor Day weekend. Where in the world is Montana? I've only been to New Jersey. It's like, where? I gotta. So I called my travel agent. I said, hey, I need a ticket to Montana, someplace called Bozeman. I was like, okay, it's going to be $1,200. Whoa! With $1,200, I can go all the way to India. Do I really want to put all my chips on that? Is it worth it to go all the way to Montana, a place I don't even know? I've never been there. I did it. The guys who came with me, they said, no way. No way. That's not for us. That's too much. Put it all. Put all the chips. I'm not a betting man. I don't do bitcoins or gold or silver or diamonds, but I bet on Jesus. Put everything on Jesus, guys. You can never, ever go wrong. Oh, man. You can never, ever go wrong. And God has been so good. Thank you, Steve, for coming out there. Yeah, I know. I know. I came out here in a suit and a tie. And now look at me. You guys, I'm wearing sandals and jeans and a t-shirt. And, you know, it's just amazing what you guys have physically changed, helped me to change, and also spiritually. Praise God. Went to visit Jeff and Sherry Hostetter. Got to see their work. They invited me to come out there. And seeing their Christian school and their family devotions, you know, I had been hearing about this new creation, about worship and service. It's like, okay, that's nice. You know, the Christian school in America, oh, that's nice. It was like, okay, that's something they do here. It doesn't mean, that's great. But until I got to Africa, in a third world country, because I was born in India and in Indian ancestry, and seeing Jeff and Sherry do having their kids and doing family devotions and working together and raising orphans and raising their kids, a light bulb went on. It's like, wow, this is awesome. This is something that can be done in India. But not me. Not me. I don't want to go to India, Lord. No, me. Not me. And I felt like Jonah. But it was me. Am I willing to step forward? Do I really, it was 25 years ago that I started thinking, do I really believe the scriptures, the story of Noah? Did he really build an ark? Is that just a fairy tale? Moses, you know, God using him to part the Red Sea. Do I really believe in these scriptures? If I really believe it, I will step out in faith. And God can do the same exact thing in my life. That was 25 years ago. I said, I'll step forward in faith, Lord. Came back from that 2-week trip. Gave up everything. My business is in New York. My parents, my clients, they all thought I was nuts. You're insane. God has done amazing things. The scripture says, put on the new self with the attitudes of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. The new self is not like the old self, guys. It's going to impact, if we allow it, to impact our families, in a new way. It has a new work ethic. And also it has a new mouth. The new self, the new man has a new mouth. It's not like the old guy. A new mouth. The new self speaks differently. It's sort of like an accent. You know? Mark Miller. Where is Mark? He does a great job doing accents. I love listening to your podcast. You know, Jason, you guys are great job. Even my 10-year-old daughter, Victoria, she's like, I got to listen. Let's put on Mark Miller and Jason, you know. It's like, he's got some good stuff on parenting, you know. It's like, I'm like, what are you trying to, are you preaching at us, Victoria? You know, it's like, what are you trying to tell us? So it's like, yeah, we need to listen to it again. Oh, man. So I got a 10-year-old preacher in the car with us driving these miles. So the new self speaks differently, sort of like an accent. You can tell where a person is from, typically, from their accent. How y'all doing? What's that? I do a really bad southern accent. Don't ask me to do an Indian accent, okay? Don't ask me to do an Indian accent. Forget about it. How's that? You like my New York accent, you know? Forget about it, guys. You know, you can tell by an individual's accent where they're from. Now that you're a new creation, new man, lose your worldly accent. Get rid of it, guys. Get rid of the foul language, the jokes. It's not. We're new men. Put on the new self. We've been given a major, major, super duper upgrade. Upgrade. We've been upgraded. You know, we're like super soldiers. You know, I used to watch those Van Damme movies in the 80s, you know, Cyborg, and he's like, you know, he can be just, it's like super soldiers. We're the resurrected army. Christ dwells in us. Right? Christ dwells in us. It's not, you know, we don't go to the temple. We don't go to the tabernacle to worship our God. God has come to dwell in us. Jesus dwells in us. I'm getting a little hot, so I'll take this off. Right? My wife wouldn't let me rip my shirts anymore. She said, no more ripping shirts. So she got me these Velcro things. I say Velcro's doesn't do too well. So I need, I've been trying to shop at thrift shops. So thrift shops, 50 cents. She says, you're on a 50 cents budget. So we have been given a major upgrade. No physical tabernacles, no temples. We are blessed to worship in spirit and in truth. Is that exciting? That is super duper exciting. Woohoo! As a Catholic boy, I used to go into that Catholic cathedral, and it's like before I would be cursing and doing whatever, you know, thinking about all sorts of things. And then I come into that building and I'm like, all right, yeah, I'm bowing myself. And it's like, oh, God is in this building. But when I learn from the scriptures, thanks, Jay, for bringing those things out. It's changed my world. It's like all the time Christ is with us. All the time. I get to talk to my dad. I get to talk to him. 2 a.m, no problem. He's there. I could be, you know, 10,000 feet, 10,000 leagues under the sea or something, and he's there. I could be on Mars, you know. Elon Musk is making condominiums on Mars. So if I get to go up there and he's there, don't need to worry about it. He's there. See, do you have to be in a certain place to be married? If I cross the border into North Dakota, yeah, I know. It's scary, scary place. It's a scary place. Am I no longer married? How about I go to Nevada, Las Vegas, Nevada? Sin City. Am I not married? I'm married. I'm married to my beautiful wife. I go to New York. I go to Timbuktu. Wherever I go, I'm married. I'm married to my wife. Right? How about taking out the trash? Is God with us when we take out the trash? We leave this building, this beautiful, this really nice tent. This is a really nice tent. We leave this tent, we go back to our homes Monday. Does God leave us? No. We go back to the cooking, the cleaning, the changing, the diapers, brushing teeth. Does God leave us? Eating, business meetings with clients, driving, going on vacation. Does God leave us when we go on vacation? We can do whatever we want. We can spend money whatever way we want to spend it. Everything is the Lord's. Everything. Every second, every minute. It is not something we have to give away. It's something we want. I want the Lord to take control of every aspect of my life. You're Lord because you know what's best for my life. You know what's best. In submission to Christ. Not grudgingly. You know, Matt did a great job years ago. You should check that lesson on submission. Fantastic lesson. One of my favorite. Preached all over Asia. So, about submission. Worship is not. It's not something you have to. It's like, oh, okay, I got to worship the Lord. It's Sunday morning. It's something I want to do. Full submission. Here, Lord. Here I am. What can I do for your kingdom? Who can I serve today? Who can I serve? Who can I help? You know, it's not a Sunday. We're not Sunday morning Christians. In 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify Christ in your hearts. Is that just a few minutes during the week? It's all the time, 24/7, full submission. It's something we happily do. Happy, happy. We're happy people. Once you come into Christ through immersion, you're in His presence all the time. This is great. All the time we are in God's presence. Can you guys say, Adipoli? I sound like Dora the Explorer, don't I? Can you guys say, Adipoli? Come on, a little bit louder. Adipoli, Adipoli. Yes, that means great in Malayalam. Adipoli. See, you guys teaching you Malayalam at the same time. Adipoli means great. This is something wonderful that we are blessed. Major upgrade. This removes the idea that Sunday is God's day. Sunday is God's day. And the rest belongs to? Guess who? Me, me, me. I can do whatever I want the rest of the week. There in Christ as new creation, there is no my time. This is me time. There is no work time. There is no entertainment time. This is all for me and my family. And then we have church, so-called church time. It all belongs to Jesus. Every second. Every second belongs to Jesus. If that's too hard, then do not become a Christian. Do not become a Christian if that's too hard. You can't have a little bit of this, a little bit of Jesus. I want all of Jesus. Amen. I want Jesus to take control of every aspect. This is life changing. This affects every aspect of my choices in life. Every aspect of my choices. My mindset. How I treat my family, my neighbors, my co-workers, the brethren. Changes us. This is something really, really great. Right, Davis? Something great. It's not just every second of our life. We can make a difference for the Lord. You don't turn it on and off. You know, I've been asked for a big switch. You know, there's no on and off switch. Come into the building, turn it on. Just put on a smiley fake. Hi, guys. How are you? And then go home and yell at the spouse. There's no turning on and off. It's just, we've got to be on for Christ all the time. What's a great way to use our speech? First of all, we can use it for prayer. Prayer is Colossians 4, 2-6. Says, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Right? Pray. Devote yourself to prayer. The best way, and we have been given this incredible access, Let's use it. If we're in constant communication with the Father, do you have time to complain? Do you have time? How do you talk to the Father if you're constantly talking and enjoying your fellowship with the Father? Do you have time to complain about your spouse or how hot it is, how cold it is, how this problem? Do you have time to complain? No. Constantly praising, talking to the Heavenly Father. The prayer is powerful because we're asking God to do what only God can do. Aligning ourselves with God's purpose and plan. Constant communication. It has been given to us freely in Christ. It's part of the group, the beautiful package. You get your sins washed away. God comes to dwell in us. And we have the best access of all. Verizon doesn't have it. AT&T doesn't have it. None of them. In Christ, you get to talk to Dad anytime, anywhere, and He's with you. Devote yourself to prayer. Don't stop! Don't stop! It's power! Use that speech to communicate with your Heavenly Father. Don't give up. Keep going. Keep moving. Wow. This is the greatest use. Talking to our Creator, our Heavenly Father, who can be reached anytime. Prayer for many falls in the category that reads, for emergency use only. It's like those things, the oxygen masks on the plane, you know, it's like on the train, you got to pull. Yeah, don't pull that, you know, it's like. But in Psalm 62, verse 8, David says, pour out your heart to God. Pour it all out. Give it to Him. Not your neighbors. Not your relatives, not the other brethren. Give it to the Lord, the things you're struggling with. Our problem is that we spend too much time talking to other people about our problems. Hey, Davis, you know what he did to me? Let me tell you, blah, 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 blah. Oh, he's like this and she's like this. You can talk to the Father. Let's go to the Father. First of all, talk about your struggles, the things that you're going through. According to Barna, a so-called Christian research group, denominational Christians spend 1 minute or less in prayer a day. 1 minute. How about us? How much time do we spend in prayer a day? Average denominational preacher spends 5 minutes a day in prayer. 5 minutes a day in prayer. Wow. Try having a meaningful, intimate relationship with anyone for 1 minute or 5 minutes. How's your relationship? If you have 1 minute conversations or 5 minute. On June 23rd, 2013, Nick Walenda and his family, they've been tightrope walkers for many generations. On the 23rd of June, 2013, he successfully walked across the Little Colorado River Gorge, part of the Grand Canyon region, completed a 1,300-foot crossing without a safety harness. It was over 1,500 feet above the river in approximately 23 minutes. The live broadcast was aired in over 200 countries and featured Walenda battling strong winds and the optical challenges of the canyon. That was great. That's nice. But what was truly amazing, that I found amazing about this individual, was that while he was walking on this tightrope, you know, I'm glad I'm not doing it. So this guy was praising Jesus. Every step he took, he was praising Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Every step. Man, I'm having a hard time just. So over and over, you can find him on YouTube, Nick Walenda. It's kind of cool just watching him and seeing him cross that thing. You know, every single step. I ask myself, do I do that in my everyday life? with the steps that I need to take for Christ, the decisions in my life, in parenting, in my relationship with my wife, in helping brethren, in my financial decisions, in every... Do I do that? We should be in communication with our Heavenly Father all the time. Everything we do is being aired, brothers. Everything is being aired. As Hebrews chapter 12 says, to a great cloud of witnesses. They're watching us. You're on display. It's like the Truman Show. Have you guys seen the Truman Show? You know, they're watching him. You're being watched. With high definition, super. You know, nothing like this, but super. Everybody's watching us. We're on display. Let us walk in faith, stepping forward. Another way we can be effective with our speech is by being thankful. Thankful. Thankfulness. 32 times in Paul's letters, he says something about being thankful. Thanks be to God, he says, over and over and over. This is a guy who's in jail. And he's thankful to God. He's always thanking God. Paul's writing from jail and he's thankful. No matter what he was going on, what was going on in his life, he thought of reasons to be thankful. In Acts 27, until the day, Acts 27, 33 to 37, until the day was about to dawn, Paul was encouraging them. He's on a ship as a prisoner. With a whole lot of other prisoners. He was encouraging them all to take some food, saying, today is the 14th day that you have been constantly watching and going without eating, having taken nothing. Therefore, I encourage you to take some food, for this is for your preservation, for not a hair from the head of any of you will perish. Having said this, he took bread and gave thanks to God. In the presence of all, and he broke it and began to eat. All of them were encouraged, and they themselves also took food. All of us in the ship were 276 persons. Did he have to do that? Forget you. I told you not to do this. Forget you guys. It's your fault. I wanted to see you suffer. Suffer! Ha ha ha! You know, was that his mindset? No, he was encouraging them. He prayed. We have a wonderful gift. We can encourage others. Everybody out there, every single person here in this tent is going through a battle that you know nothing about. Everybody's going through. Through a single word of encouragement, you can change somebody's life. Your children are going through things. Right? Single word you can encourage. I love you. I'm proud of you. Yeah. Tell your daughters how beautiful that they are. I have three beautiful daughters. I'm proud of them. My sons are awesome. I love being a dad. I love being a husband. You know, I think I say it too much to my kids. They're like, oh, dad. You know. In this world, there is so much negativity. Social media, the news channels, talking with people. They're always so often it's always negative, right? Negative. How you doing, my friend? Just surviving, man. I'm just surviving. Just getting by. I smile. It's the end of the world, they say. It's the end of the world. I'm just hunkering in the bunker. That's the attitude of many. That's why we as God's people can bring life. Life. We can inject life. Right? That's what we need as God's people, to step in and lift people up. Give them hope. Give them encouragement. In a world full of so much discouragement, we can be bringers of light. Our Father is the Father of light. So, Father, we are children of light. Father is light. We are children of light. We do the same things our Father does. Let's not be like Job's friends in 16, Job 16:5. They could have strengthened him with their words, but They chose not to. They were just focusing on themselves. Right? They didn't. We have the power in our words to encourage and lift others up. Everyone in this room is going through something. A battle. We can build them up. We can be a blessing. Let's be the greatest voice of encouragement in another's life, brethren. Let's be the greatest voice of encouragement. We're not competing against each other. We are brethren, hand in hand. We're marching to Zion. Stepping forward day by day. The words we speak are filled with power. Our words can build up or our words can crush. Where's Micah? Micah Miller. Is he here? Oh, there he is. You know, I was thinking of, you know, I saw all those Legos in your room, at your house in Billings. I was like, I wonder how long it took him to build one of those Starship Cruisers or whatever. All those things that, you know, he had all these Legos. It was really cool. You know, I was like, I can't build one of those things. But I was going to ask him to borrow one of his Legos and bring it up here. And oh, you guys are laughing. So guess what I was going to do with them. But it's hard to build. It's hard. How long does it take, Micah, to build one of those Starship Cruiser thingamajigs or whatever? What? A week? A week? Yeah, that's for him. He's a smart guy. So for me, it would probably take a half a year or something. So, but to destroy that takes a moment. It's destroyed just by our words. We can build. Building takes time, but to destroy, it's so easy. If we allow the flesh to take control, we say words that hurt, that pierce and destroy. In Proverbs 18:21, our words can build up. Let's build our brethren. Let's build those who are in this world. They have no hope. Various addictions of drugs and alcohol and pornography and you name it. There's all sorts of things people can get involved in. But our words, we're the bringers of hope. We can pull people out of the darkness. Let our words build others' faith. Give them confidence and peace and joy. Remember, everyone is going through a battle that you know nothing about. Hebrews 3:13. It says there in Hebrews 3:13, encourage one another once a week, right? Once a week. When you see everybody, hey, how you doing, brother? How you doing? How you doing? How you doing, Chris? You doing good? Okay, great. See you in 4 years. Bye. That says every 4 years or every daily? 3:13, encourage one another. Right? Daily, every day, encourage one another. Encourage the one right next to you. Encourage your spouse. Encourage your children. Check on them. See how they're doing. You okay? Right? What does Satan do in our lives? He places lies and distracts us. He comes only to destroy our relationships. Tells us that what you don't have. We all face various discouragements on a daily basis. Satan gets in our head and says things like, you're not a great parent. You're a horrible spouse. You're not making a difference with all these Bible studies that you're doing. You're wasting your time in becoming a Christian. You should have stayed in the world. Constant discouragement, right? That's why we need each other's fellowship and being in the Word. Got to be in God's Word. Not just Sunday morning, as Matt said, right? We need to be looking into the mirror of God's Word on a daily basis. Gazing intently like a laser beam into God's Word, memorizing His Word, praying through the Word, studying it, listening to messages, listening to songs that edify and build up. You're spiritual bodybuilders for Jesus. So you can be sharp to be able to give the right answer at the right time when people are looking for hope. Everybody out there needs some encouragement. Just a pat on their back. A smile. Can you guys, we can all smile, right?
Yeah, oh, great smile right there. Sue has a great smile. Right? We can all smile. Right?
Because I need encouragement, I'm going to freely give it. So encourage each other daily. Daily, use Facebook. Use Facebook, Instagram, X or B or Y or whatever it is out there. You know, personally, any way you can encourage, build up. I use Facebook and WhatsApp and other things because there's someone out there that's going through something. I want to encourage them. I'm going to use it. You know, it's like sending missiles. I don't play video games, but WhatsApp and Facebook is my video game. You know, I'm shooting missiles. I want to encourage people, someone out there in Philippines or Tim, you know, wherever they are, in Laos or Cambodia or southern India or northern India or Nepal or Sri Lanka. Maybe they, you know, God can use that to encourage them, lead them out of the darkness onto the path of righteousness. So often people say, that's not my gift of being an encourager. You're an encourager, but not me. So was walking. When you were babies, but you took a step, didn't you? You couldn't walk when you were a baby, right? When you were a little toddler, you know, you had to learn. You had to learn to be an encourager. Simple rule, as new creation in Christ, God has given us everything for life and godliness. Simple rule to being a great encourager with our words, by our actions. If you think something good, say it. Key word is good. Good. Something good. If you think something good, say it. Express it. You know? Anything positive about someone else. Text them. Call them. Write it down. Moment you think something good. Good. And pleasing to the Lord. Do it. Let someone know. Hey, I'm thinking of you. I'm praying for you. I love you. I'm proud of you. Right? This is the best thing you can do if you're a parent or you're married or you're single, or bless others with sincere, genuine words of encouragement. God has given us this powerful tool to build others up. Look for good in your spouse, your children, in your friends. Then build them up instead of ripping into everything they're doing all the time. Oh, you don't do this. You don't do that. Oh, you're always like that. Find something good. Look for the good in others. Isn't that what God does for us? Doesn't He look for the good in us? Build up your spouse. Building your spouse will change your marriage. See the best in them. Even if it's the smallest thing, pick on that. Talk about it. I'm proud of you. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Encouraging words. Celebrate the good that you see in the other person. Use your mouth to build as a powerful sword. To build. Taking out the trash. Going to work. Doing dishes. Wow. We can compliment others, right? As people of light, let's lift others up. His divine power has granted to us everything we need for life and godliness. There was a publisher by the name of William Randolph Hearst. He wanted an exclusive painting, so he sent his staff around the world to find it. They came back and told him, "We couldn't find it. We don't know where it is. But one of your cleaners, they were cleaning out the warehouse and they found what you were looking for. You already had it." So many of us are looking for peace and joy and love and happiness. But you already possess it. You possess everything to bless others. You have it. You have the completed Word of God. This is dynamite! Power source. Power source here. You have everything. When a sperm and an egg come together, it is called fertilization or conception. This process results in a single-celled zygote. Zygote, which contains all the genetic information to develop into a new person. Isn't that cool? Conception. Everything that baby will be is in that egg. It's DNA. You don't have to look for arms to sew on. No feet. You don't have to. Okay, it's time to put on the feet. Okay, no eyes, no height. You don't have to worry about the height. You don't have to worry about the skin color. It's already built into conception. Everything to assist that baby to be full grown is in that egg. Isn't that cool? Everything. Your job is what? Finding a name. Oh, it's so hard to get a name. Man, you guys having a hard time, right? Name? You found a name. You've got a name already. All right. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 25. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes. That was Galatians 5, 19 to 25. Of which I forewarn you, just as I forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. As new creations in Christ, we have been given the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When we came out of the tomb womb of immersion. Right? We've been given everything. There is no excuse. In the 80s, there was a commercial there was a spaghetti sauce commercial, Prego. And the commercial had a father and son. The father was disappointed that the son wasn't using a jar of, that he was using a jar of spaghetti sauce. And the father would ask the son, "Where's the garlic, son?" "It's in there, Dad." "Where's the tomato, son?" "It's in there." "Where's the parsley?" "It's in there, Dad." "Where's the oregano?" "It's in there." Say with me. What do we have? We have everything for life. It's in us. Christ dwells in us, guys. He dwells in us. We have everything. Our salvation is top of the line. Top of the line, you know? It has everything. You know? Everything is included. In Christ, we've been given everything to complete, to have complete victory. We have it. We possess it. This is great news. The batteries are included too. You know, at Christmas time, you get a gift and you're like, "Oh no, I got this robot, but where are the batteries? Oh no, there's no batteries." God has given us the batteries. We have the power source to get the job done in Christ Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, whatever you do, whatever you do, do all to the what? The glory of God. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Live with the consciousness of glorifying God every single day. Every single day. Can we do that? Yes. And it is so much fun. So much fun. We've been given so much information over the years. So much information should result in us glorifying God a little bit. Should result in us glorifying God more. We should be doing more for the kingdom. I want to do more. Reach out to more communities of people in India or neighboring countries throughout Asia. Let's do more for the kingdom. Isn't that why people go from bachelor's to a master's to a PhD? Why? More information. They want to, I believe they want to do more, right? They get those degrees. We here have it so good. We have it so good with the truth that has been given to us. James says in 3 verse 8 to 10, "But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way." Why do we do this? Why do we do this, brethren? There is a thought in that what's around the corner is what will make me happy, fulfilled or satisfied. You know, just around the corner. That's what's going to make me happy. For many, it's never here. But it's always out there somewhere. What's around the corner is going to make me happy. Because of that, people grumble. They slander. They complain and argue. And they say, when I accomplish this, or I have a new spouse, or I get that new job, or blah, 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 then I will be happy. All through our lives, the world around us tells us to pursue what we want. Go after your passion, your goals. There's something always better and satisfying for you out there. Right? That's our culture that we live in. American, Indian, or African, or Chinese, or European, whatever culture. It's the same guy controls it all. He's deceiving. He's the mastermind, right? In Revelation 12:9, you can see that. He's playing the same old tricks with everybody. Totally feeds into our mindset through the commercials, through the social media, through the educational institutions. Gratify yourself. Indulge. Get whatever you want. You deserve it. You deserve it. You need a break, don't you? You need a break. Get whatever you want. You deserve. Treat yourself. The problem with this thought is that Jesus said something different. Jesus said something a little bit different. If you want to follow me, you don't treat yourself, but you deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. First Corinthians 10:31. Whether then you eat or drink, whatever you do, do for the glory of God. Whatever you, that's picking up the kids, the laundry, the cooking, the cleaning, the repairs, dealing with co-workers, dealing with your boss, dealing with employees. Whatever you do, you're in the presence of God. You are new creations. You can bring glory to God in every single situation. You have complete victory. We can control our mouth. See, so often we want to do all the things that make us happy. The real prize isn't out there somewhere over the rainbow. I'm not going to sing it for you guys. You don't want me to sing it. So it's doing all the things for the glory of God. It's doing all the things, what? For the glory of God in every moment of our life. We can do that because of who dwells in us. Right? What you do daily with a great attitude. That's where the prize is. We can be grateful in the tough times. We can find meaning and fulfillment and satisfaction if we do what we do each and every day. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23 to 27, it says, are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so, in far more labors, in far more imprisonments. That's 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 27. Without number, often in danger of death, 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes, 3 times I was beaten with rods, 1 time I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, 1 night and day I've spent in the deep, I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Woo! Wherever Paul was, he was all there. In whatever situation, he was all there. Prison, being stoned, being beaten, being shipwrecked, bitten by a snake, he kept moving forward with a great attitude. Whatever Paul did, he did it for the glory of God, wherever he was. Can we do that? Do we have difficult times in our life? Can we bring glory to God? Yes, we can. He never said while in prison, oh, when I get out of here, then I can do God's work. He never said that. Do you read that? When I get out of prison, when I get off this ship, with these smelly prisoners, then I'll do God's work. Only if God does this for me, then I will do God's work. There is a constant temptation to throw in the towel.
I was thinking about borrowing Paula's towels, but I said start throwing towels. But
the constant temptation is to throw in the towel, to give up when the marriage has challenges, when the bills keep coming, when people don't appreciate you, when people take your seat in the assembly building.
Hey, you're sitting in my seat. Oh, I'm out of here.
Yep, people do that. Yep, I'm out of here. I'm throwing in the towel. I can't take this anymore.
What did Jesus do to you? You might have issues with some, might have some disagreements, but Jesus and His Word is perfect. It's awesome.
You know, don't throw in the towel. Be faithful. In this world, I often hear people constantly follow your passion. Do what your heart tells you. You know, Paul was an ordinary guy who liked the things we do. But I can tell you he wasn't passionate about getting beaten up over and over and over and over again. Hey, Luke, you want to get beaten up over and over and over again?
He says no.
In Acts 20, verse 24, but I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. A godly purpose helps us to be passionate about ordinary things. A godly purpose helps us to be passionate about ordinary things, like changing diapers and picking husband's dirty undergarments or whatever it is. Passionate. Glorifying God, whatever it is. Ordinary stuff has meaning now. Passion always follows purpose. I run, I box, not aimlessly, but with purpose. Wherever we go, brethren, we serve, we love, we forgive, we give of ourselves 100%. We have no excuses. God has cleansed us. He has given us a new birth. He has given us complete, overwhelming victory in Christ. There is absolutely nothing we lack. We are climate changers when we come into a room. We change the climate. We are people lovers. We bring light into the darkness. That's who we are in Christ. Wherever we go with purpose to share the glorious message, the gospel message. We are ambassadors of Christ, the highest ranking diplomats sent from heaven to represent God's goodness and love to mankind. So often people do good deeds and change their life around. After they leave prison, they become lawyers and teachers. But Paul didn't wait until after he got out of prison. He's doing it while he's in chains. He realized that he's in prison as the will of God. God allowed me to be put here to further the gospel. Prokope, you know, in the Greek. To push forward the gospel. In Ephesians, the book of Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and Philemon, all written in jail. During COVID, you know, I got to see Phil playing his guitar. That was a great encouragement. You know, and all of you guys doing the Facebook Live. Wow, you guys are doing it. We're going to start something like that as a family. We can't go anywhere. We're stuck in our home. So let's encourage others. Saturday night live with the Thomas family. You know, we did that for some time, and then we encouraged the other brethren, and we started a YouTube ministry and all sorts of other things through Instagram, and that's been going on thousands and thousands. Thank you, Phil, for that encouragement. And I appreciate Luke with his Targeting Truth videos, and that's been a great inspiration to a lot of guys in India. So we start, you know, right? We can do whatever our situation, we can be quarantined in our homes, whatever situation, let's find ways to bring glory and honor to God. In the book of Philippians, Paul mentions joy and its forms 19 times. 19 times! This guy is in jail, in a smelly, rotten, poop-ridden, you know, maggots, and it's a nasty place.
It's not like the $40,000 prisons here in America, right? This is pretty bad. And he talks about joy. This is very strange for a letter being written by a prisoner, falsely accused, jailed by the Roman government for no good reason, that it should be a letter of joy. No bitterness, not anger, not revenge. Let's take revenge. Rise up, men. Bring down the Roman government. Come rescue me. He's not saying that. He sees God's hand even when he's being beaten in jail. Why is Paul so joyful? He was a partner. He was a partner in the family business of saving souls. In God's family business. Isn't that what we're involved in? We're in God's family business. You know, I was in the family business in New York with my dad, and it was restaurants, but this is so much better. Saving souls, as long as the family business is what? Moving forward, it's all good. It's all good. It's great. As Tony the Tiger would say, you know, it's great. Right? We're also partners in the same family business. In May 27, 2012, in Psychology Today, an article said, people are unhappy because they view their lives as prisons. Many people feel trapped by aspects of their life, trapped in an unhappy marriage, job, or they're generally unhappy with their life despite basic needs being met. They feel like they're in prison. Do you guys feel like you guys are in a prison? Isn't it amazing that Paul's not getting on Facebook or Instagram or X, organizing marches, complaining about the government? He's encouraging us all to rejoice. Rejoice, my brethren. Rejoice. Again, I say. According to Josephus, Paul had a 4-hour guard, 6 men per day, for two years. That's hundreds of men. Paul's meeting with every single day. That'd be about 365 days, 6 men. That's 2,190. Wow, that's a lot of guys. Speculating, but 2 years, that'd be over 4,000. How would Paul feel about this? Oh, me! I'm suffering! Oh, this is horrible! Is that his attitude? No. This is good. He's chained to these guys. Every 4 hours, new guys come in. You know, let's say, hey, it's not that many, but even though there's hundreds of guys coming, he's getting to talk to them freely. What's Paul's focus? He's not distracted by his pain, by his physical circumstances. He's not complaining about it. He's using it to glorify God while in chains, while being in prison. Many of us are in our own prisons of our own making. Can we bring glory to God? Was he successful in sharing Christ? Yes, yes, yes. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 through 14. Philippians 1, 12 to 14. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Philippians 4:22. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. Wow! He didn't lose focus. Even through his imprisonment, through the difficulties, through the hardships, he glorified God and souls were saved. 72 times Paul talks about the gospel throughout the books, throughout his writings. 72 times. The gospel. It was all about the gospel. He was passionate about it. Whatever they did to his physical body, he wanted to save their souls. What are you passionate about, my brethren? What's driving you today? Are you chained? House full of kids? Bills? Health issues? A difficult spouse? What is it? Can we glorify God through those situations? Yes, we can. We can still bring glory to God.
through those situations. Charlotte Elliott wrote 150 hymns while being bedridden for 50 years with chronic pain, with depression, so many issues. Martin Luther translated the New Testament into German while in Wartburg Castle. John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress while being in the Bedford prison. These guys were not Christians, but they, look at what they did. What can we do with the truth that has been given to us? Can we use our mouth to bring glory to God? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. As I finish up here, what if our lives were a Winnie the Pooh episode, guys? Who would you be? Timid Piglet? Pooh Bear who likes to eat? Pushy Rabbit? The wise but boring owl? Who would you be? I know who Paul would be. Tigger! Right? I got Tigger here. Tigger. Right? Exuberant, resilient, bouncy Tigger. I'm not going to sing that song. No. Can't do it. He has every reason in the book to be an Eeyore. The donkey. He has no physical reason to be joyful. He has no, absolutely no reason to be joyful. But he is. It's a choice. He sets his mind on things above, trusts in the Lord, and uses whatever he has to bring glory to God. He uses his mouth, and so can we, brethren, today and every day. We have been given the victory. Today is a great day, and it is a blessing to be in Christ. Let's press on. Let's glorify him. Thank you.